Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Connect with you, Jesus, and it'll be all about you and not about me in the slightest, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want some notes to go along with this message, you'll find them as usual on the YouVersion Bible app, and you should have got a little, if you're on the WhatsApp group, you'd have got a message just as the server started to give you a link to that. If not, just open up the app and you'll find them under the events section there. But here at Found Church, we're in a sermon series just now called Ignited, A Journey with the Holy Spirit. And throughout Scripture, we see the power and presence of the Holy Spirit at work, from creation right through to the early church and then on into our lives today. Yet at the same time though, many of us struggle to understand who the Holy Spirit is and how he operates. And in this sermon series, we'll dive into the person, the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit, exploring how he guides, how he empowers and how he transforms us from the inside out. And as we open our hearts to his leading, we will discover that the Holy Spirit is not just some abstract force, but the very presence of God with us day by day. So today, as we continue on this journey to know him more deeply and walk in his fullness, today I want to speak on the power gifts. And I want to focus in on the gifts of faith, the gifts of healings, and the gift of miracles. The Bible is filled with divine manifestations of God's power. And as Christians, we're called to walk in that same supernatural power today. And the gifts of the Spirit are given to the church, as Michael explained so well last Sunday, are given to the church for edification. And among these gifts, three are categorized as power gifts: the gift of faith, the gift of healings, and the working of miracles. And these gifts demonstrate God's sovereignty and supernatural intervention and human affairs. And I remember a few years back, Charlotte wanted to borrow a charger from me. And I remember thinking at the time, I have no idea why, because you must have at least four or five chargers somewhere in your room that will be lost in the mess of the room. But I just said to her, "You'll find one in my office." Meaning, the box underneath my desk will have some chargers in it. That's what I meant, but I didn't actually say that. And off she went to get her charger. And I went into my office to work, and I went to plug into my iPad into the charger that is always plugged in, and the cable's sitting on my desk, and I charged my iPad, I charged my phone on that cable and that charger, because I knew I needed my iPad for a meeting later that day. So I plugged it in, and I thought no more about it, and I set about my daily task. But when the meeting came, and I went to the meeting, and I arrived at the meeting, and I opened up my iPad, it was as flat as a pancake. You see, Charlotte didn't need a charger. Charlotte needed a plug. That's what she really needed. She needed a plug for the charger cable that she had in her hand, so she took the plug that I use every single day. Two thoughts immediately sprung to mind. Firstly, I should have been clearer in my instructions where I told her where to go and find the charger, but that's a different message for a different day. Secondly, and most importantly, the thought that we need to be connected always to the power source. Always. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting from verse 1, and let me read these 11 verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say 'Jesus is Lord' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit,
to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Amen. So imagine you're on a boat alone in the middle of a calm lake. The water is still like a perfect mirror reflecting the sky above. There's no sign of movement anywhere. No ripples, no breeze, just absolute stillness. It's peaceful, but you feel a sense of stillness that you know can't and won't last very long. And then as you sit there, you suddenly feel that slight breeze on your face. At first, it's almost unnoticeable, just a faint touch, but it soon grows stronger, picking up speed. And then the boat begins to gently rock, and the water that was once still begins to ripple. And the gentle breeze becomes a gust, and the boat begins to move, and you realise that without seeing the wind, you have been carried by it. You have no control over the direction that it's taking you, but you know it's the wind that is taking that boat forward. But what's happening here? The power of the wind is invisible, but its effects are undeniable. Without the wind, the boat would remain stagnant and the water would remain still. But the wind changes everything. It has the power to move the boat from one place to another, to push it into new directions that would otherwise be impossible. Now think about this. Just as the wind is unseen but undeniably powerful, so too is the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. You can't always see the Holy Spirit, but his power is at work in ways that we cannot and should not ignore. The Holy Spirit's power gifts, like wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation, are like that wind. You may not always see them directly, but you can definitely feel their effects. They move you, they empower you, and they carry you into the purposes that God has set for your life. And the boat is like our lives, and the wind is like the Holy Spirit. Without the wind, the boat stays in one place. Without the Holy Spirit's gifts, we too will remain stagnant. But when we open ourselves up to the wind of the Spirit, his gifts propel us forward. Just as the wind can't be controlled, the Holy Spirit moves in his own ways, sometimes really unpredictably. And you might find yourself doing something that you never ever thought you could do before. And these gifts are not our own, they are given by the Holy Spirit. And their purpose is to bring glory to God and to serve the body of Christ. They're never to make us look good. Never. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are powerful, just like the wind. You might not be able to see them directly, but you can always witness their impact. Just like a sailor who knows that if they harness the wind, that they can then navigate to places they would never reach on their own, so too we are called to surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading, allowing his gifts to empower us to accomplish God's will in the world. And as we delve into this message, it's crucial to understand that these gifts are not simply meant for admiration, but for activation in our daily Christian walk. And I want to explore what these gifts are. I want to show how they've been demonstrated in Scripture. And I want to, most importantly, tell us how they can be stirred up in our lives today. So let's firstly have a look at the gift of faith. Jesus expects faith from every single Christian. Each of us has the faith to turn away from sin and trust in Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. We have faith to believe in Jesus as the Son of God and his power for living. We have the faith to believe in the doctrines of the church. Faith is a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. But his characteristics of the fruit has to do with our faithfulness to God and trust in him. And not everyone has a gift of faith that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. What Paul refers to when he mentions the gift of faith is an extraordinary, monumental trust in God to see great things like miracles and healings happening. The gift Christians have, trust God for the power to see and do great and astounding things. And this, let me remind you, this does not make you look like Peter and Paul. It's not about people looking at you as someone who can do impossible things. This gift always glorifies Jesus by showing that he does great things through you. He does the great things through you. You don't do the great things. Everything you do through this great faith is for Jesus' glory. It is for others to see the works you do and glorify your Father in heaven. It's never for your glory. It's always to glorify your Father in heaven. And Jesus talks about faith like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds that produce a large tree. Jesus says that such a small amount of faith can do great things. And Christians with the gift of faith have the vision to see God do impossible things. We all mentally ascend to God's power, but people with this gift have the supernatural ability to see God doing these things before he even does them. Their faith is the seed for miracles and healings, the impossible becoming reality. This isn't just a determination, it's a spirit-led gift to believe for the impossible. Their faith empowers others to believe for these impossible things to happen. They are like the fuel and the fire of others' belief in Jesus' power. In our darkest hour, people with a gift of faith rise up and remind us of Jesus' sovereignty and power to flip the tables and bring light to the darkness. That's what people with a gift of faith do. They trust Jesus to deliver us from the wickedness. They have the conviction to give courage to those suffering persecution and trial. They bring peace to us when we suffer by changing our perspective to trust in Jesus' ultimate plan for our lives. They come alongside us and increase our faith from their faith. These are people who are mature in the faith and the things of God. They have completely surrendered their lives to God's will and wield an unswerving obedience to him. They are humble, though their faith does not waver despite the storms around them. Do you know people like that? I meet people like that all the time, and I'm inspired by their faith. I'm inspired. There's people in this room who I'm inspired by your faith. Unlike saving faith, which all Christians possess, and you see that in Ephesians chapter 2, the gift of faith is a special measure of divine confidence, often manifesting in extraordinary circumstances. But the question is, how do we activate this gift of faith? I would love to have more faith, the faith to believe for the impossible. While this gift is always given by God, we can play a role in activating and operating in this gift. I would encourage you to start off, cultivate a strong relationship with God. Faith is strengthened through intimacy with God, so spend time in prayer, worship, and studying the scripture always deepens our trust in him. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So meditate on God's promises, builds up confidence in his ability to work in impossible situations. Like, cultivate that strong relationship with God if you want to see that gift of faith outworking in your life. Secondly, I would encourage you to yield to the Holy Spirit. The gift of faith is activated through the Holy Spirit's leading. Galatians 5:25 urges us to do what? To walk in the Spirit. When we are sensitive to his voice and his promptings, we can step out in faith, trusting in his power rather than our own understanding. But if you are not yielding to the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll never have the confidence and the ability to step out in faith. Because you'll be thinking, am I doing this on my own strength, or am I actually listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do? Then I would encourage you to take that step of obedience. Step out in obedience. Faith always grows through action. James 2:26 reminds us that faith without works is dead. When God speaks, we have two choices. We can stay where we are and do nothing, or we can act in obedience, even when the circumstances seem uncertain. When we take that step, it opens the door for supernatural manifestations of faith. But let me tell you, that will never happen if you just stay seated where you are. Like, nothing will happen if you just stay there. If God tells you to go and you just sit there, it's a bit like that analogy we had on the screen earlier. Like, we're not at least leaning on a shovel, waiting for God to dig the hole. Like, if God tells you to go, you need to go. Then you'll see the manifestation of the faith gift working. Can I then encourage you as well to pray bold, expectant prayers? Jesus taught that faith-filled prayer moves mountains. Praying with boldness and believing in God's promises aligns us with his will and activates the gift of faith in our life. And then next, surround yourself with faith-filled believers. Let me tell you, faith is contagious. Faith is contagious. Like, if you are always hanging about with people saying, this is never going to happen, I'm going to be stuck here forever, chances are you're going to be stuck there forever. You get yourself around people who believe God for the impossible, who are praying big, bold, expectant prayers, let me tell you, you'll see things happening in your life. You will see things happening in your life. Being in a community of strong believers, as seen in the early church in Acts chapter 2, strengthens and activates the gift of faith in our lives. By pursuing God, obeying his voice, trusting in his power, we activate the gift of faith and witness his supernatural work all around us, in us, through us. It's incredible when we do that. Secondly, I want to just briefly talk about the gift of healings. And Paul mentions these gifts here without explanation or examples. And if we're being honest, throughout the centuries, we have sought to understand this gift better and to see them in our ministries and our lives, all the way through the centuries. But did you notice, though, in here when Paul lists it, the gift of healings is plural. It doesn't just say the gift of healing, the gift of healings. It's plural, meaning that you don't just see healing once or twice when you pray and minister to others. You will see healings regularly throughout your prayers. Jesus will use you to heal others. And this gift of healing is obviously linked to the gift of faith. You must have great faith to believe the impossible and healings happen. You aren't the one that heals. Jesus heals others through your faith and your prayers. But we are not the one who is doing the healing. We are never the focus when the Holy Spirit is ministering through any of these gifts. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's not about us. Paul mentions this gift in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, verse 28, and verse 30. This is not the wisdom or skill to heal others by natural means. Doctors and medical professions have the skill and knowledge to use natural means. But this is the supernatural, spirit-led ability given to see healings because of faith. Because of faith. And quite often evangelists would have this gift. As they address and combat the unbelief of Jesus' claims and power, the Spirit can heal the sick as proof of Jesus' power and willingness to heal. And you see that in John chapter 10. The demonstration of the Spirit's power comes through the healing of the sick. Healing doesn't have to only be physical, though. People with a gift of healing can see emotional, spiritual, and psychological healing in their ministries. Those with this gift inspire and empower other people's faith to see Jesus heal. And the gift of healing always brings glory to God. It never brings glory to the person praying. If you take glory for that, there's something far wrong. Like, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's always about God. When you have this gift, you may or may not feel anything when you pray for others. But the gift of healings is not about feeling something. It's about being faithful to exercise your gift when the Spirit calls on you. Although Jesus touches to heal throughout the Bible as part of healing and the laying of hands, it's not necessarily for God to heal others. You don't always have to put your hand on someone to heal them. I've prayed for people over the phone and they've been healed. No way I could put my hand on them to pray for them then. But God's healed them. And you see this in Acts chapter 5, verse 15 and 19, verse 12. This gift is not about your track record in healing, but your obedience and faithfulness to use the gift when the Spirit calls on you. But how do we activate this gift of healing? The gift of healings, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, is a supernatural empowerment by the Holy Spirit to bring physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. While this gift is given by God, Christians can always position themselves to activate and operate in it effectively through faith, obedience, and partnership with the Holy Spirit. So can I encourage you, firstly, to cultivate a lifestyle of faith. Faith is essential in activating the gift of healings. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, is impossible to please God. And Jesus often emphasized faith when performing healing, saying things like, your faith has made you well. To activate this gift, we must trust that God still heals today and step out in faith to pray for the sick. Secondly, can I encourage you to walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit? Healing always flows through the direction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus healed in various ways, sometimes laying hands on the sick, other times speaking a word, and even using unconventional methods like spitting in the ground, making mud, and rubbing it on people's eyes. And Elizabeth hates if I ever go, could you imagine how much spit Jesus must have produced to make that mud? Like, I think about these things. Like, we're not going to do that today, like, but being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading is crucial in activating this gift. Can I encourage you to pray with authority and pray with boldness? Jesus gave his disciples authority to heal the sick in Luke chapter 9. Likewise, today we must walk in that same authority. When Peter and John encountered the lame man at the temple gate, Peter boldly declared, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Healing often requires us to pray with confidence in the power of Jesus' name. Let me tell you, if you want to pray for somebody to be healed, and you're already thinking in your head, this is massive, I'm not too sure this is going to happen, then I'm not too sure it's going to happen. Like, if you're standing here praying, though, regardless of how big the prayer request is, believing in the power of Jesus to heal, then I think you'll see better results happening that way. But you're standing there praying with the authority and boldness of Jesus, having that faith to believe, then you'll see things happening. Then I'd encourage you to create an atmosphere of healing. Jesus often healed in environments that were filled with faith. In Mark 6, 5-6, unbelief hindered miracles. Well, in Luke 5, 17, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Go and look them up and see the contrast. Jesus couldn't do any healing because there was no faith. But in 5:17, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Worship, prayer, and a declaration of God's word create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit moves powerfully. Then you can lay hands on impartation. Paul instructed Timothy to stir up the gift of God, imparted through the laying on of hands in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We can receive an impartation of healing anointing through the prayer of others, and then step out to minister healing to those in need. By faith, obedience, and persistence, the gift of healings can be activated to glorify God and bring wholeness to his people. And then thirdly, the working of miracles. See, the gift of working miracles comes directly from the Holy Spirit, as we've seen in First Corinthians 12, verse 9, and also Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The gift of faith also accompanies this gift much of the time. Faith gives the vision to see the Holy Spirit's work through you to produce miracles. Miracles are extraordinary events that they can cause even the greatest skeptic to believe in God's power. A miracle is God breaking through the natural order of things to suspend them for a moment. This is God's power through you to go beyond your natural ability. God suspends natural laws to show his power in ways that science can't verify. And if you're on the prayer meeting on Friday morning, Ellen Seal shared a story where the garage told her she had filled her car with petrol. And the receipt said petrol. And the garage was adamant that there was petrol in her car, which is a diesel car. But when they took that, Ellen prayed, saying, you can turn water into wine, you can change that petrol into diesel. When her car went to the garage and they drained that tank, it was full of diesel. And Tesco paid for the repair to her car. She might have put petrol in, but she prayed in faith, believing, and it was changed to diesel. The garage were adamant it was petrol. God suspends the natural laws to show his power in ways that science can't verify. God uses miracles as assigned unbelievers and those who don't have the faith to see his impossible works in action. God doesn't just do miracles to show off. They have power beyond the miraculous event and a purpose from God. They always have a purpose. They can lead people to repentance when they have turned from Jesus. When people challenge the authority of the gospel, miracles prove beyond a shadow of a doubt God's authority and power on this earth. We see this in the Old Testament in 1 Kings 18 and in the New Testament in Acts 13. People who have the gift of miracles have a God-given boldness to see these miracles take place in the lives of others. They also have extraordinary faith. The Holy Spirit uses their personality, uses their boldness to bring forth God's miracles and prove his power in the midst of unbelief. But how do we walk in the working of miracles? Walking in this gift requires faith, obviously. It requires obedience, requires boldness, and it requires a deep relationship with God. So I would encourage you to cultivate strong faith in God's power. Faith is always the foundation of miracles. In Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus declared that even faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Those who desire to walk in miracles must believe that God is able and willing to perform supernatural acts today. Spending time in prayer, fasting and meditating on God's miraculous works in Scripture strengthens our faith, and it cultivates that strong faith in God's power. Secondly, be led by the Holy Spirit. There's a theme here. I hope you recognise there's a theme happening here. Miracles happen according to God's will and timing. John 5:19 shows that Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Those who walk in miracles must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's direction. This requires intimacy with God, listening to his voice, and stepping out in obedience when prompted. Can I encourage you then to exercise boldness and take action? Miracles often require stepping out in faith. In Acts 3, verse 6, Peter boldly commanded the lame man at the temple gate to walk, and the miracle occurred. And let's be honest, fear and doubt can hinder the supernatural, but bold obedience activates miracles. Speaking the words of faith and taking action in alignment with God's instructions always open the door for miraculous manifestations. And then can I encourage you to declare and release God's power? Miracles frequently happen through spoken declarations. In Mark 4, verse 39, Jesus calmed the storm by speaking, "Peace be still." In John 11, 43, he called Lazarus out of the grave. Those who walk in miracles must learn to speak in agreement with God's power, declaring healing, provision, and breakthrough with authority. Speak with authority. Create an atmosphere for miracles. Faith-filled environments cultivate the miraculous. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus, what did he do? He removed the unbelievers. He kicked them out of the house before healing Jairus' daughter. They did not believe, so he kicked them out. Worship, prayer, and the word can create an atmosphere where God's power can flow freely. Can I encourage you to persist and never give up? Miracles sometimes require perseverance. Elijah prayed 7 times before the rain came. We must persist in prayer, fasting, and faith, even when the results are not immediate. By walking in faith, obedience, and boldness, Christians can activate and experience the working of miracles, bringing glory to God and advancing his kingdom here on earth. And the band can come as we wrap this up. And we could have spent much longer on each of these areas and spoken individual messages on each of these gifts. But the power gifts, faith, healing, and miracles are available to every single Christian through the Holy Spirit. Every single Christian. And let me remind you, these gifts are not just for biblical times, but are relevant today. Are relevant today. God desires to use his people to demonstrate his power in a world that desperately needs him. And as we seek him earnestly, develop our faith and step out in obedience, we will always see his miraculous hand at work in our lives and the power and in the lives of those around us. But the question is, though, are you willing to be a vessel for God's supernatural power? Are you willing to ask the Holy Spirit to activate these gifts in your life and begin walking in the miraculous today? Can I encourage you to step out in faith, to pray for the sick, to declare God's promises, to expect miracles in your daily walk with Jesus. And as we close today's service, I want to speak directly today to your hearts. The gifts of faith, healing, and miracles are alive and active in the church today, just as they were in the early church. They are not stories just from Scripture, but they are present-day realities available to every single Christian who dares to step out in faith and trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you've been struggling with doubt, I urge you to believe today that God is ready to move in your life in ways that go way beyond your imagination. The gift of faith will rise up within you, enabling you to trust God for the impossible, even when the situation seems hopeless. For those of you dealing with sickness, pain or affliction, whether in your own body or in the body of someone you love, I want to remind you today that healing is not just a possibility, but a promise. The gift of healing is here and it's ready to flow.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.